Hello, welcome to Waldman's Words with me, Scott Waldman. I just did a semi-good radio voice, so I'm stoked on that. And more importantly, we've got Trenton Warsham of the Dirty Dirty South. Trenton is by far the most passionate Under Oath fan I've ever met, but you can use the word met in quotes because we haven't met in person, but we've spoken a few times. Actually, I'd say more than a few. And he does a lot of work behind the scenes. He's a really talented writer and a bright-eyed kid. And I say kid accurately because he's a lot younger than old man me. So we're actually doing another interview right after this one, and it's a phone interview as well. We've got Rob Castellan, who works at Wiretap Records, and Stringer, a band that Mike Kubios and I managed together. Mike Kubios also knows Trenton, I digress, is on Wiretap, and so is Audio Karate, and so is, or so are, no, so is, grammatically correct, the Kamikaze Girls. So it's a really, really cool label out here, and I'm excited. I'm actually going to New York City tonight. I'm flying into the airport and then heading to Long Island because my sister is getting married to a wonderful man who will be my brother soon, my first actual brother. So respect to that. By the time this airs, she'll already have been married and I will already have eaten a lot and drank a little. Drinking is bad, kids. Don't do it too much. The next week, we are not going to be doing a show actually here, but that won't affect you guys in any way because we have a few others backlogged. But after that, we've got Katie Stein, who's also behind the scenes doing a lot of digital work. She's going to be coming into the Adobe offices. The following week, we've got a guy from Nielsen, which is exciting for me because I know nothing about Nielsen. His name is David Bakula, and he will be coming in. And then the very last recording in May, which will be airing actually in June, we've got Leah Urbano, who is an accomplished artist manager, and she has a company called Crimson Management. So I'd say it's going to be May. I hate that meme. It's a little bit much right now. But you know what? I do like it's going to be me. So stick around for this episode every single Tuesday, 5 o'clock my time, Pacific time, and 8 o'clock Eastern time zone. We're going to kill it. Also, every single Sunday, mornings bright and early, 5 a.m. Pacific time, 8 a.m. Eastern time. You can go on adobe.com and stream every single episode. We're approaching 80, which is pretty rad. Or by the time this airs, it'll be in the 80s. I can't wait for the 100th. It's pretty cool. It's been 2 years of bliss. So go on iTunes, go nuts, go ham. Stick around for Trenton Warsham, which rhymed with ham. Oh, shit. Hello. We are here on Waldman's Words with another W. Trenton W. I'm Scott W. Let's get to it.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello. We had a few technical difficulties that the bajillions of listeners will never know about, but the struggle is real here. And so Trenton and I have actually been acquainted for a little bit. We've spoken on the phone a few times. We've exchanged some emails and we've talked on Facebook Messenger quite a bit. But I just want you to let the people know who you are. What got you into music in South Carolina?
Yeah. One of the things you asked me earlier before the technical difficulties was bands from South Carolina. And even though I live here now, like, I didn't grow up here. I was born in Texas. I don't know if a lot of people know that, where my parents are from. And so I was born there, moved around a little bit, and settled in Virginia, which is where I call home. Came down to South Carolina for college at a college here and stuff, studied broadcasting and everything. And then, you know, just meeting people and just going to the shows and stuff, met people here in the music scene, and eventually our editor, Josh, who started SoundLink, which was formerly called Southeast Pit Report. And it was sort of like a little favor I did for him and stuff. But ironically, it was for a South Carolina band called Islander. They started here in Greenville. And then, you know, we have Hootie and the Blowfish, Nile, Emery, you know, 100th Brigades, or some other pretty, I guess, somewhat well-known bands who are from here and everything. But Yeah, so that's how I got down here and everything. But music and everything, I guess I've always liked it, but it wasn't until later on that I actually found, I guess, a passion for it and everything, starting to listen to it, discover new bands, that kind of thing, wanting to do it myself in some
How
way,
old were
shape, or
you?
form.
How old were you when you did that?
Did what exactly?
Like
The
discovering bands on your own, like, 'cause I guess Weird Al was the first band that I'd well, band huh? Weird Al was the first act that I discovered on my own. I grew up on Beatles, Beach Boys, and The Who and all that stuff, and that was the first non-parental unit inspired thing. So I guess what was your gateway drug into the fun world of music discovery?
Well, just riding, going to school, grocery shopping with my mom or whatever, it was always either country music or CCM music. For those who don't know, that's the
Christian.
Christian, contemporary Christian music and stuff. That was the stuff I knew growing up. And of course, pop. Like NSYNC was, I guess the first band I really got into, I guess you could say, being like a middle schooler or whatever.
Nothing
But in
wrong
terms
with
of like
that.
stuff I like now,
Nothing
do what?
wrong with that whatsoever, man. You gotta own your guilty pleasures, man. I try not to have any.
I still have the original No Strings Attached cassette tape I got for Christmas when that year too. So I still have that cassette tape and everything somewhere.
They just got a
But
star on the Boulevard too.
what was that?
Hollywood Boulevard, they just got a star. Actually, by the time this airs, it'll be a few weeks later,
Oh
but
yeah.
it was
Yeah, I saw that.
a day
Yeah.
or two ago, and I saw they were on Ellen and amazing. I actually got to see NSYNC Live, believe it or not. I saw Smash Mouth open for them on the Celebrity Tour.
That sounds amazing. That sounds amazing. Low key jealous you got to see that. But as far as the other stuff, I guess rock music in general, it was kind of funny because this guy in the youth group at the church I was at was into rock and everything, and he played guitar and he was like sort of like a cool dude or whatever. And so he showed me a couple of bands, and one of them was called 12 Stones, and that was, I guess, the first
Evanescence,
actual rock.
dog.
Yeah, that was actually the first real rock band I got into, and the first time I heard screaming in that kind of music and all that sort of stuff. And so I was into rock bands, mainly, like the Christian rock stuff. I was a total youth group kid growing up. And so
Dude, my last name is Waldman. I don't know too much about youth group. So tell me about that experience. I mean, there's obviously quite a few Gentiles in New York, but I just want to know about it. Was it like kind of like the movie Jesus Camp, or was it a little bit less intense?
No, like despite the church being a Southern Baptist church, it wasn't. I don't really have many horror stories from it, believe it or not.
Many?
Like some people did growing
Sorry,
up.
I don't have many horror
Well, I,
stories. Just a
well,
few.
like I can't really think of anything necessarily bad. Like, and there might be some stuff I was oblivious to, but just the same people on staff there in the pastor role have been there since I was like born. So like 28 years or so, the same guy's been the pastor. And so, there's never really been any scandals or anything like that, like you hear people, now talking about growing up seeing in churches. So if anything like that or anything bad happened, then I completely do not know about it, or it just didn't happen or anything. But so it was good. Like, the Like that's I so I was skateboarding around that time in high school. So like on Wednesday nights, after our youth group meetings or whatever, a bunch of people from the local high schools that would come out. We'd all like skateboard and stuff around the church parking lot and everything. And it was one of those kinds of things. And so it wasn't really
Well, it
th
sounds a
this
little
like
bit more
really.
positive. I mean, I don't know too much about this, and we obviously don't need to get into a religious or political debate because there's nothing really
Oh
to
yeah.
debate here, but it's good that you had a positive experience and that I think that actually Paramore was formed because of church and youth group and all that stuff. So you really never know.
Yeah, I mean, the people there weren't into, I guess, the heavy stuff. It's mainly like the hip hop and all that stuff. Like even though I was growing up in Virginia, like the town I grew up in is like right on the border, and so the church I grew up in was when we still started going when I lived in North Carolina, and we just moved across the border in Virginia. And so like my mom still goes to that church and everything, and so It wasn't. So even though I grew up in Virginia, the church was in North Carolina. So like everybody, you know, in that area was more into like the country, hip hop, that kind of stuff. It wasn't necessarily that particular area wasn't necessarily a heavy music scene or anything. And that's ironically how I found the stuff I that got me into what I'm doing now was Fuse TV back in the day when they had like their dedicated live and all that. And
Steven's
ironically,
Untitled Rock Show, man.
And even the Christian TV station had a thing called Steel Roots, and they would do a music video countdown. And that's actually how I found out about Under Oath and
Wait, you like
Norma
Under Oath?
Jean.
What?
Oh,
Wait, what? That's the first time I've ever heard that word coming out of your mouth or
oh
reading
my
it.
God.
Yeah, they're a small time band from Belgium, right?
Oh, yeah, totally. Definitely.
No, in all
But yeah.
seriousness, you're the biggest Under Oath super fan I've ever met in my entire life.
Oh,
So
yeah.
I actually talked about that in the intro. So it's
Oh,
cool you're
yeah.
into
It
them.
started there, actually. So,
It's been
yeah.
a
So,
good
like,
year for them.
finding all those, like, the solid state type bands and stuff, you know, through that Steel Roots thing. And then, you know, the usuals like Taking Back Sunday, My Chemical Romance, those bands on the Fuse channel. And, you know, like Under Oath and some of those other bands were thrown in, you know, between them and stuff. But that's like, so that's like mid late high school was when I was really starting to get into this, the all these subgenres that wasn't just, you know, normal rock music and stuff. And, you know, just if they, some of the bands had a Christian tag on it, you know, it just helped with brownie points a little bit. Like, oh, this band's a Christian band, you know, they're that means I can listen to them into my
Well,
mom and my
that's how I was able to
oh.
convince my grandfather to purchase video games for me. I'd say that they're educational. Like if it was like even Mario Brothers, I'd be like, "Oh, look, this is about Italian culture."
Well,
But
did you learn anything from
I
them?
learned so much from jumping on the heads of like various creatures and turning into a raccoon. But what's funny is that secular music, I mean, there's plenty of bands that are in the Christian genre like Under Oath, Reliant K, and I know that I'm MXPX straight, but those bands I'm still really into a lot of those bands. And I remember purchasing Songs from the Penalty Box Volume 2 and hearing about so many different bands. I mean, I like Blindside a lot. I still do. I listen to them a lot. I
Oh
like
wow. Yeah.
so.
Yeah, like I mean even then like you would have bands like The Fray that would get really super popular in the mainstream and stuff, and my sister was into some of that stuff too, and you know I liked some of The Fray stuff when they first came out, stuff like Cable Car, all those the classic songs, whatever you want to call them, they're basic, you know, songs, not anything out of their deep catalog or anything. But no, and like, you know, after finding them, you know, my sister would be like, oh, do you know they're Christian too? And I'm like, really? And so like it seems like that was a weird time for like all these bands who are getting popular to just like throw on a Christian tag or something. That for some reason being in a Christian band was became the thing to do like in the late 2000s for some reason.
I
But
mean, there's so even like Red Jumpsuit is now a Christian band. I mean,
oh yeah.
there's so many of them. I want to find. I mean, there was actually I had a guy on this show, you know, who is named Neil Rubinstein, who is actually the front man of a band called Sons of Abraham, which is like a Jewish hardcore band. I'm still waiting for that
That's so
to come
rad.
back. But I mean, also I don't know if you are aware of this, but Imagine Dragons is a Mormon band.
I didn't know that either.
Yep,
Wow.
they're pretty freaking big, aren't they?
Yeah, they're probably the biggest right now, I would say.
Yeah, I'm gonna look them up on Spotify. I bet they're like in the top 20 or 30 in the world right now, even though music with
They've got
guitars,
to be
it's not cool
somewhere.
anymore. But let's see. So I guess you said you went to school and studied some, you know, broadcasting. I want to hear about that.
So I was the kid who wasn't good at math or anything. Like those were the worst grades on my report cards. And so when it came to college and wanting to figure out something I could study, like there were obviously anything with math would not have suited me. You know, I'd probably still be in college if that was the case. So, you know, your typical accounting degrees and or what have you, all the good stuff that would actually get you a really, you know, hefty salary right off the bat, you know, just you just required a lot of math and numbers, and that just wasn't my thing. I just was horrible at it. So I'd always liked the whole technical aspect of stuff when it came to that, like seeing, like watching like the Star Wars movies or Jurassic Park movies, and then putting in the bonus DVD or whatever to see like how all that stuff was made, and just all that, just creating stuff like that was always something I liked. And even before I even knew I wanted to do something like that, I would have a CD, like one of those old CD boom box players with like a little microphone on it. I put in a cassette tape and record songs off the radio, then do my own voiceovers on them, just
Oh,
trying to just
dude, I
doing
gotta
stupid
hear
stuff.
that. I gotta hear that. That sounds amazing.
I
Was it with a high
don't even know that
voice? Was it like, this is
cassette tone
trending,
existed.
I really enjoy this song by Slick Shoes. Ah.
I actually think I remember doing it, and I think Miss Murder was by AFI was playing on the radio, so it was during that time, like the whole Fall Out Boy AFI, when that type of stuff was on the radio, along next to like Neo and whoever else. And so
You
yeah,
know, I
so like
managed the
just
bass player from AFI, right? Hunter, as a producer. Just
oh really, I did not know that. That's awesome.
yeah, it's pretty sweet. I'm a huge fan of them. So yeah, I'd say in the mid 2000s was when Fall Out Boy, All American Rejects, My Chemical Romance, and AFI reigned supreme, right?
Yeah, they were like all on the radio, and you would hear an Usher song, and then you'd hear Fall Out Boy, and it was pretty rad.
Oh my
But
God, thanks for bringing up Usher. Holy moly.
well, I,
Yeah.
yeah, see, I was in high school, and so I was in marching band in high school, and that was one of the songs we played for the football games, was the Yeah song, and I actually don't mind that song. I don't mind some of those. I always say that even when it comes to like the top 40 pop music, it just seems like everything was so much better back then.
I
Even
mean, you
with,
sound like an
like
old man, but
Usher
you're
and
right. And I'm older than you, so I'd say everything was so much better in the mid 90s. Sorry, bro, but it was.
I was in elementary school then, so I could, other than NSYNC and Britney Spears and all that, I can't really tell you about the mid-90s or
Dude,
anything like that.
Weezer, Green Day, Nirvana was played on the 1994, man. Best year for movies. Forrest Gump, Shawshank Redemption, Pulp Fiction, Nirvana, Weezer, Green Day, Offspring. It was a great time. But, people are most into the stuff that they listened to when they were kids. So I get it.
Yeah, I mean, I was not even in kindergarten in 1994, so
Can you
that
please stop saying that? Can you please stop making me feel like I'm 139 years old, you bastard?
well, something that this is a little off topic, but something that shocked me was like when I found out like Vic Fuentes from Pierce the Veil was like in his mid-30s. Like that absolutely blew my mind. Like he's like 35 years old, because I thought, when I found that band, that they were sort of, around my age, but that dude's like in his mid-30s, and I was like, holy cow, like I cannot believe that. But
I mean,
yeah,
there's
so
a lot of like Huey Lewis didn't break out until he was like 35 years old, and I'm Chris Carrabba right now. I'm sure he's in his 40s by now. It's just people age. But yeah, no,
yeah.
Pierce the Veil. There's a reason why they wear hats. There you go. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, the kid. You don't. I mean, they were doing it for quite some time, like before today and all that other
Oh,
stuff. So they're not exactly the young and cute band, but they've managed to have quite a career, haven't they?
yeah, definitely. It just shocks me when I find out like how old some of these guys are that seem like they would be like in their late 20s or something like that, and they're like, oh wow, they're not. That's pretty interesting. But yeah, going back to the whole broadcasting thing,
Dude,
I
we transition, bro. You've heard this show before. I don't want it
Yeah.
to be as linear. I mean, I definitely don't want it to be like the biggest ADD show in the world, but it's got to have a little bit where you're like, what?
Oh yeah,
Some cherries?
definitely, yeah. But yeah, so doing the whole radio thing, so like I was just in community college for a little bit back home, and I was like, you know what, I like this whole broadcasting stuff. I want to see if I can do that, see if I can, work on the news or be on the radio or something like that. And so I started looking into that. One of the schools I wanted to go to in state, I needed a math credit, which I didn't have in my community college.
You talk about
And
math a
so,
lot. This show should be called Waldman's Words About Math. It's pretty dope.
it actually plays a big role, because the school I ended up going to was ironically, a Christian college that
And
our youth
that's the
pastor
next
is
thing you
heading.
talk about. This episode is brought to you by Jesus and arithmetic.
Well, listening to some of the other episodes, like I as soon as I heard the interview with Patrick Walford and Bradley from New Fury, I realized I'm a combination of both of them because I think Brad was talking about his background, growing up like that too. And then Patrick's over here doing the whole radio stuff, and so I'm like, wow, I'm just like sort of like a blend of these two guys a little bit in a way. But
Patrick
so
Fury. Sounds like you're a wrestler. Take it.
I
And those are interviews
so
that don't often get, I mean, shout outs to both of them, but mostly Patrick because, sorry to, Mr. Dillon, but Patrick works at Adobe and he has a show here, and he was actually the very first person at Adobe to say welcome. So I won't forget that.
Nice. Shout out to Patrick then.
Yep.
But
P. Diddy.
yeah, so I went to that college and did the whole broadcasting thing. It was a private school, and so they didn't require, the math credit or whatever. So that's it with math. No more about math. And so I ended up there and found some people there who liked the same music I did. And at this time, like I was like 19, 20 years old, or whatever. I was actually going on Facebook when they had those old notes and stuff. Those no the notes section, you could post stuff.
Oh, I remember
And
that. I think I wrote
I
like I tagged friends and albums and stuff, and that
yeah
it's pretty it was it
yeah
kind
so
of went the way of the poke.
yeah and so like I would sit there, and this is when again late 2000s, these bands are massive now, but that's when The Devil Wears Prada and A Day to Remember were first like catching their drift, starting to blow up and stuff. And so I was finding those bands, and I do like bands of the week. You write like three paragraphs about three different bands and stuff on there and post them on the notes, or do like a little video, review on Facebook of like a new band I just found. And so I was doing all of this stuff just because I wanted to, without even having a goal of to do what I'm doing now. And so my goal was to go in there and do like audio production with radio, and work at a radio station, editing spots, that kind of thing. And then like then like I graduated, didn't do that at all. But then about a year after I graduated,
You were studying
my
abroad. That's what prevented you. Let's just go with
yeah, I was studying
that.
abroad. But so nothing with music was in the future. Like I didn't have any plans for that. I did interviews, radio interviews, like while I was in college and stuff, and just because I wanted to, talk to bands I liked. And so I did, I would do that, and all this stuff going on without even any plans for it, and we're doing this or whatever. And I was also, finding Brian Starrs. Brian Starrs was popping off at the time too, and I always, at the time, at least in his first couple of years of him doing that those interviews, I was like, this kid's really unique. He's not with
He's not the
AP, he's not with
typical.
anybody big, he's just doing his own thing. And
He
so
wasn't the
I was like,
typical
this is really
voice at
cool.
all. Everything about
Yeah.
him. I mean, it definitely wasn't my thing. But that being said, he spoke for a lot of kids who were asking questions that weren't the typical. Where are you from? What inspired
Yeah.
you? He was doing kind of like some TMZ type stuff.
Yeah, and so I liked that, and I was like, wow, this guy's building his own brand. I'm like, this would be something cool to do too, someday, or that'd be cool to do that, I don't know how he's doing it, but that's cool. And so fast forward to like 2014, our editor Josh has to cover a show at the arena here in Greenville, and our dudes in Islander at the time, they just gotten signed to Victory. And so they were doing a local hometown show, and he had it set up to do an interview and asked me to go do it. And so I just took my phone and recorded it and all that stuff. And I was like, okay, I just help this guy out, because I was talking to him on Facebook for years, just never met him or anything. And so we did that. And fun fact, their singer Mikey and I actually went to the same college, and I see him around campus and stuff, so that he's got some stories about that, but about going to that school too. But yeah, so we did that, and then noticed Alisana, the Alisana tour, the Revival Recordings tour, was coming through to another venue here in town. And I was like, hey, do you want to do this one too? And he's like, yeah, sure, let's do it. And so here, before you know it, like we're just like racking up these interviews with these bands and stuff coming into town or in North Carolina and stuff. And during that time, I was thinking, like, wow, this could be something like like Brian was doing. You know what I mean? This could actually, you know, be cool, you know, have our own little thing here. But at the same time, another guy I really respect doing the stuff, Tim Kayum, I think he's a guy you should have on the show too.
Facilitate that. We're actually going to take a short break and you could talk about Tim Kayum and then your transition to badass motherfucking writer. So let's stick around. Everyone stick around, listen to Mr. Trenton. Hello. We are back with part two of the wonderful interview with Mr. W. Trenton. So talk about your buddy Tim, or your hero Tim, or not Tim from Under Oath.
Oh yeah, so yeah. So I was saying, like, you know, I'd watch Brian Stars and stuff, see how he's building this sort of like thing for himself, and then, you know, I saw this other guy, Tim Kayum, who was doing these things too, except his were more in depth and sort of built not just surface level in a way. Like, he would have conversations with these artists instead of just shooting off questions. And so for when I started doing this, I was like, I want to be a blend of those two guys right there, because, you know, you have the whole like brand that Brian has, and then, but yet you have the intricacy that Tim has with these interviews, and I just want to do them my way. And so very rarely will you see me standing there in an interview or anything with a piece of paper asking questions. It's usually...
Oh, I have no paper, bro. I'm talking into a microphone. I hope that I'm the best combination of Ryan Seacrest and Brian Stars ever.
Yeah, you're killing it. You're Scott. You're your own guy. Like, you're way beyond those guys. You're way beyond those guys.
I was fishing and you caught that bait. Continue.
But yeah, so most of my interviews I do off the top of my head. I'll have like go-to questions if they get kind of like dull or not as conversational, but usually it's off the top of my head. And, you know, without being in a band, but being around bands, one thing I try to also do with our website is sort of push it more as a band would versus another publication, because I feel like there's a lot of this us versus them going on, where it's like, you have the bands over here, then you have us, you know, journalists, whatever you want to call us, like over here, but I seem to identify more with the band side of things than I do with the writing side of things, because, you know, I love spending time with artists. I love the whole work behind it, and, you know, just everything that goes into like being a band and the whole like unit and branding and stuff. I like that, and I want to try to use as much of that possible to do what I do and do what we do here with SoundLink and stuff. And so even with those short links and stuff that bands use, where you can choose three different places to pre-order a record, we have one of those now where you can go to our YouTube or our Spotify, subscribe to our podcast. You know, so like that's something else I took and implemented, you know, for us. Or I made these little cards with our Spotify playlist on it that people can scan with their phones to go to the playlist.
When I started the management company, like, I was marketing it kind of like a band, and I changed my ways. But do you have like a street team? Like, how do you get the word out about the wonderful SoundLink that I actually used to write columns for?
Yeah, we're that's something else that we're still trying to figure out, is we don't have a street team. We have a team of writers. We have a guy in California named Ben who is killing it. He's covering a lot of the California bands out there. Going to go full hipster here and say that he wrote about Hobo Johnson and back in October of last year, before the whole Peach Gones thing took off this year. So he's killing it out there and stuff. And we have another girl named Charlie here in South Carolina with us who does some content for us and interviews when I can't do them and all that. And we have a team of photographers who shoot, you know, in Florida and Maryland and just all these other places. So it's we have a team of people who do things and everything, and everybody's like pushing it in their own way with their own work and stuff. The photographers are sharing it, tagging, and then, you know, Ben's out there writing and pushing it out there and stuff. And so I guess just trying to build the social media stuff, you know, that's the one thing that I will admit that we have not done the best on, whereas website and everything like that is doing great. The social media is just like still haven't found that click yet to just like really blast it out there. And I don't want it to become like a meme brand where, you know, where our Facebook page is sharing memes all the time. And then when you get to the content you're passionate about, like, people don't care. And so we'll do memes occasionally, but I don't want like us to post a meme every other hour just to get the reach, even though we do get great reach, but I don't want half our likes to be there because we have memes on our page, you know,
or like 93% of the likes. I wrote a column for Mind Equals Blown about, you know, 10 ways that musicians act in, you know, I guess self-destructive ways. And one of the points was that your socials are more about memes than the music. And I get it. I think memes are funny. I post them. I do on my personal page. But you don't want to be known for that. It's a hard enough industry as it is when you have good content. But posting something someone else did that's funny or timely is great. But it's more cute. And people don't really talk about the impact of a meme. They talk about the impact of your words or your songs.
Yeah, and so that's why shout out to Alternative Press, who've been the standard for like forever now and this stuff. What they've started doing that I started taking cues from was they're not doing memes, but they're doing these graphics asking questions about, you know, who's your favorite band or name your favorite song lyric, you know, stuff like that gets interaction and shares and people engaging, but it's still related to what they're doing. And so I made this video, you know, the short little video with little clips in it called, you know, 2006 Jared Leto versus 2006 Gerard Way, or, you know, a collage of albums, you know, asking people to name their favorite album by a band that's not one of their favorite bands, you know, just stuff like that. That's relative. That is still a graphic that can be shared and fun, but it's not, you know, just some stupid meme that gets you laugh and a click, you know, for like 5 minutes and then people move on, you know, it's so, So trying to navigate that, trying to figure out how to consistently get content up on slow days and stuff, especially with a small staff that doesn't have people, you know, constantly able to generate content like the big boys do. But so social media is still like a wild west for us to try to figure out and navigate, because it's always changing and there's always new stuff coming out, new stuff with the algorithms and all that you gotta keep up with. And so that's still a part of it that we're trying to figure out and build and everything.
Well, I just want to say that I interview a lot of people on this show, and you actually did something unique in this interview. You talked about something that you really need work in, which I think is freaking awesome. I just want to give you a shout out for that. Obviously, if you're the smartest person in the room, you're in the wrong room, blah, blah, blah. But it's cool that you actually were able to point that out, because, you know, you're not where you want to be yet. But hopefully eventually you will be. And even if you are where you want to be, you'll want to be higher than that. So I guess what would you say is like a 2 or 3 year goal for you in SoundLink?
Really, like going back to the whole band thing and Brian Starr's thing, is I want the brand SoundLink, I want all of this to be treated like it's a big deal. You know what I mean? Like what I mean by the whole Brian Starr thing is like he would go to shows and people would know who he is and what he's doing, but he's not in a band. You know what I mean?
So he's a personality.
People, you know, will like a band, you know, like love what they're doing and stuff and follow them. You know, I want, that's what I was alluding to the whole band stuff earlier. I want this brand to be synonymous with, you know, like band ABC or XYZ, you know what I mean? Like they're part of that group. They're not out here doing this extra stuff for them. They're over here doing stuff with them, you know, and everything. Sort of like how AP and Warped Tour are sort of like this, they're not the same thing, but they're so interchangeable. Like Warped Tour, Alternative Press, those two brands are so interchangeable with each other because they've been in the thing for so long. So I sort of want the brands to be an interchangeable thing that you could mentioned in the same breath with a bigger band or with another bigger brand or something like that. I don't want it to just be this side thing that's going on over here that's just covering some stuff. You know what I mean? And so,
of course I do. And now the Warped Tour is leaving, there's a gap. So find that gap.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, even 2, 3 years, you know, we've sponsored a few small tours. We're actually doing one with Cardigan Records right now that they just announced this past week and stuff. And so, yeah, like doing some tours, maybe some festivals. Like I said, like we don't have the manpower or anything like that to pull anything like that off. Like something we've been talking about doing is more online content with videos and stuff. But again, you know, when you're working job, you know, real quote unquote real jobs and stuff like that, you don't really have
What pays
time
your
or the
bills?
money
What pays your bills?
to put into it. Yeah. And like our editor and founder Josh, he's, you know, he's got a wife and he's got a kid and he's got a career and stuff. And so, you know, he's even more, you know, spent out than I am, you know, being a single dude and stuff. And so like it's kind of hard because we're basically the two guys that are making it all work and go and stuff. Everybody else is just, you know, putting their flavor into it and stuff. We're the ones developing the ideas and trying to do all this stuff. And so, you know, when you're both like working a lot or you have families and stuff, you can't really put everything you have on paper into action. And so like what I guess for 2, 3 years is like I would love to have either interns or some people who are passionate about it who will, you know, just be willing to create content that we can't do or see the vision or see the ideas that we have to do stuff that brands even like Alternative Press isn't doing and make it out there. Like I don't, I'm like, you know, already I'm, you know, I know other websites have podcasts and everything, but I don't really know of another website that's big that has the news section, that has a podcast, that has a YouTube channel and all that stuff all at the same time. You know what I mean? They have
Yep.
one or the two or they have others. So that's something right there that we have, you know, three faces of that I don't think many of the bigger brands do. And there's so much more that we have talked about doing, that we talked about, that we've wanted to pull off that none of these other brands are. We just don't have the resources or time to do it. And so that's something that we want to work out. Like for example, we toyed with the idea late last year of doing an internet radio station, you know, because that's my degree, I can do that. But the platform we were using just wasn't working out, and so that just kind of fizzled out into becoming nothing. And so, you know, just stuff like that, just different things that we think about and do. We would like to have sort of more hands-on stuff and more people in the on the team to do it, as well as monetizing, like, you know, generating ad revenue and actually making this something that we could call a side job or a side hustle that's actually paying some of our bills. And you can maybe phase out another quote unquote real job,
Takes
you know, on
time,
the, that
man.
you're doing on the side
Takes
and
time.
replace it.
Took me
So,
quite a
yeah,
minute.
so.
I've been doing management for 3 years and I'm still struggling. I mean, I make a little bit, but it took me a little bit to generate $1. So it takes time. We have a little bit of time left, so I guess what is on your radar other than the new Under Oath record?
Yeah. Radar as in music coming out
Yeah,
or
new stuff. I'm in a funk because I listen to a lot, but I haven't found any real diamonds in the roughs as far as unsigned and unrepped bands. Like I see a lot of the bands that are on labels large and small, and I see a lot of the bands, you know, that my fellow managers pitch, and that's great, but I'm trying to find the next Under Oath, and not in terms of sounds, because a lot of people say that's
yeah.
limbs, you know. But I'm saying like, what is on your radar? Because you are from a different area than I am, and you I guess veer more on the heavier side than I do. So I'm just curious what you are digging, you know?
Yeah, well, it's sort of like I'm on two spectrums. Like I'm either on the whole like pop side of things, like bands like Paris are doing. Like I love that stuff. Even The Weeknd's newest EP, I'm in love with that, and I'm a Post Malone fan. And you know, like I said, even on the heavier, chaotic side, you know, like the Norma Jeans and the Limbs and all that, and even in the middle with bands like Too Close to Touch, you know, just the blend of both those two worlds, you know, and bands like that and Issues, like I really love. And so, on my radar, there's quite a few. Like we have this playlist that people can look up called Tomorrow's Headliners, and it's got all sorts of bands from all sorts of genres, all parts of the world, heavy, soft, poppy, and all that. But off the top of my head, give a shout out to some of the local dudes here. There's a
Please
band called
do.
Never-I from North Carolina. They kill it. There's a band called Harm from North Carolina. They're sort of a blend of the mid-2000s post-hardcore stuff. It sounds like the blend of old Underoath with the Skylit Drive type of thing. I'm sure you've heard this band. There's a band from New York that's popping off right now called Varsity.
Yep.
I'm really enjoying them.
I have.
Messenger Down is a solo act here in the Carolinas. He's a solo guy, and he makes literally all of his music from the samples to the live instruments. He's more in the vein of Panic at the Disco, 1975, and all that kind of thing. And so, if you're like heavy stuff
I
and
do. I mean,
poker and chill,
I just
yeah.
want to hear
So,
what's on your radar. I do like some heavy stuff. I love Dillinger Escape Plan, and they're pretty freaking heavy. So, tell me more, or tell me. I mean, we only have a few more minutes, I guess. What advice you'd give to some kid in North Carolina who wants to do what you do? Because you got on the show, so that's pretty rad.
yeah.
So, like.
That's the thing I never know how to tell somebody, because like I said, I'm sure Brad, our buddy Brad from New Fury, he started his thing with the intention of doing what he's doing, whereas I sort of fell into it. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't something that I was purposely trying to do. And I've told other people this. I write the articles on the site because I have to. I'm more into doing the whole interviewing and the whole podcasting, the playlisting. Like, I like developing stuff like that. Unless I'm really passionate about a topic or a record, I'll do an article on it or whatever. But my main wheelhouse is the whole creative side of it. And so, I guess advice I would give is just either start your own thing. Just start maybe like a little YouTube channel, interviewing smaller bands and working way up, or contacting people at upcoming websites such as ours, or other ones of the like, and just asking if they need records reviewed and that kind of thing. I don't really know a good answer for that,
Well,
because like I said,
you unintentionally gave good advice in that just if you're passionate about music, do as many things in the field as you can. You might even find your way. I became an artist manager completely randomly by giving someone
and I'm
advice,
always
so.
Yeah, I'm always down to, help somebody out if they're like, oh, how do I like music, I want to review albums and stuff like that. I'll get a message. I'm like, well, you want to review stuff for us? Just give the opportunity to do something like that, because you could always use the extra help. But at the same time, though, is if you really want to do something, you've got to really want to do it. Because at the same, for every, 5 messages we get or so asking to do this or that for us, maybe one sticks and the rest just sort of never talk. You know what I mean? So it's like, you gotta, if you really wanna, do something, you've really gotta do it and stuff, or and just show what you can do. I'm just rambling right now. But yeah, just if you really wanna do something, just do it. And if not, then that's okay. You can find your own little, you can find your own other thing. And if you're involved with something, you can tell somebody it's not for you, and just find what it is that you love to do and everything. So
You didn't ramble too bad, don't worry about it. And let me say something. It's a lot of trial and error. That was one of the things that I learned in college, is that college for me, and then eventually life after college, was finding out what you don't want to do. I went to Michigan, with plans of going to their business school, and I weeded myself out actually senior year in high school before I got there because I took accounting and I wanted to shoot myself. So suicide's bad, guys. But anyway, this the thing is you got to figure out what you don't like. You got to figure out what you do like. We only have X amount of time on planet Earth, so live it up and pursue your passion. And it looks like you are. So, I guess
Yeah,
tell.
you put that rambling way better than I did. Everything you said in your everything you said, I had in my head, but I couldn't say it. So you did. You basically translated everything for me.
You're well. What actually, when this episode airs, it won't be you. It'll be a synopsis of me talking on your behalf. So it'll be perfect. But I
That'd be
just want
great.
to say thank you. I'm kidding. Thank you so much for doing this, I guess. Tell the people listening how they can check out SoundLink and check you out.
Yeah, so you can go to soundlinkmagazine.com, or literally every social media account is at SoundLinkMag. We have a Facebook. We also have a Spotify account, SoundLink Magazine, one word, where you can find some pretty cool playlists. Like I mentioned earlier, our flagship one is the Tomorrow's Headliners one, and those are just bands that are coming up that could be a band like Capsize, who's a mid-level touring signed band, to, you know, an unsigned band, you know, touring around and stuff. So, you know, bands of all sizes on there and everything. And for me, all my social is, I think, at Southeast_Trent. I haven't changed it to SoundLink yet. It's still Southeast from Southeast Pit Report. And if you do have any questions, you can email us soundlinkbusiness@gmail.com. And my personal one is Trenton@SoutheastPitReport.com. So,
well, thank you so very much for doing this show. Every single Tuesday night, 5 o'clock my time, 8 o'clock your time, the show airs. And Trenton, you're a nice person.
You're a nice person too, Scott. Thanks for having me.